Welcome to a weekly look at all things high school sports around the South Plains. Powered by the Lubbock Avalanche Journal. Here's the Lone Star Varsity Podcast.
Hello, hello, South Plains. This is Stephen Garcia, high school sports reporter at the Lubbock Avalanche Journal, and this is the week two edition of the Lone Star Varsity Podcast, talking about all things high school football in the South Plains. Well, I just got to start by saying it's good to be back in football season. You know, I was finishing up with my work last Friday night, and, you know, to be honest with you, I couldn't get to sleep because, you know, as soon as I was done, I had to check around scores, around the state. You know, it's a great time of year. There's nothing quite like that first week because you never really know what to expect. Yes, you have all the previews and, you know, excitement from coaches, but you never really know until they take the field. And we got our first look at that last week. So to start with some of the high points from last week, I know a game we talked about on the podcast last week was Shallow Water traveling to Abernathy for a big non-district game between two teams that were state-ranked in their respective 3A divisions. Abernathy coming up with a 28-16 win over Shallow Water, spoiling the debut for Coach Rodney Vincent down in Shallow Water. They'll get another chance at their first win under Coach Vincent when they take on Seminole, who is also coming in 0-1 after an overtime loss to Amarillo Palo Duro. Try saying that one three times fast. But let's focus on Abernathy for a little bit. I mean, this is a team that, you know, Shallow Water is no pushover, and they were able to get their offense going. You know, Jess Hull, one of the top quarterbacks in the South Plains, he, you know, started off the season on the right foot. And he's got some weapons there on the outside. Abernathy, a 3A school in Division II. Those receivers, they're playing both ways in the defensive secondary as well, which, did its part too. You know, to hold Shallow Water to 16 points, that's an impressive way to start the season. So Abernathy, who actually, you know, impressed enough with the victory to move into the state rankings at number 9 in 3A Division 2. So the Antelopes are definitely on the statewide radar now after the big win. And, a team that was already in the state rankings, as good as you can get, number 1, Motley County, coming up with a big 46-30 win over Westbrook last week to start the season. And, we had Motley County as, the official rankings did as well, as the top team in the smallest classification in Texas, that being 1A Division II. You know, we had high expectations for the Matadors. They have the outstanding running back, Jake Richards, back. He of state record setting rushing as a sophomore. This is his senior year. And so far, so good for the Matadors. I mean, Westbrook is no slouch. Last year they had two losses on the season, and both losses happened to come against the eventual state champion in Sterling City. So for Motley County to come out and get the 46-30 win, over Westbrook, I think that bodes well for them because Westbrook is also a Division I team. So, you know, Motley County, will be keeping our eyes on them for certain. They started the season off with a bang. And perhaps maybe the most shocking result, at least the way I saw it, You know, like I mentioned earlier, I was, you know, laying in bed, kind of scrolling through scores, checking up on the games I wasn't at. And when I saw the Muleshoe score, you know, I kind of, I'm not going to lie, my jaw dropped a little bit. The Mules, the Fighting Mules of Muleshoe, coming out with a 33-14 win over Sundown. And yes, Muleshoe is the bigger school. They're 3A, going up against Sundown, who's 2A. But, you know, it's not like they squeaked by. You know, 33-14, that's a solid, you know, result for Coach Richards there in Muleshoe, this being his second year. And he was talking to our friends up at the Amarillo Globe News over the summer, and he said that, you know, this could be a team that has a big turnaround this year. They had 9 starters back on each side, but, you know, you kind of take that with a grain of salt when, you know, you finished 2-7 a year ago. But the Mules coming out with, my opinion, the biggest shocker of week one. And, you know, if, you know, Coach Richards is right, the Mules could be in line for a playoff spot there in 3A Division I. But turning to some in-town teams, Lubbock Christian, 49-0 over Smyre, excuse me. I, you know, had to think about it for a second because, you know, not a score I was expecting. Smyre, you know, talking to the teams in that district, they are seen as the favorites. You know, they did lose, you know, a lot of talent from last year, but still, you know, looked upon as the favorites there in that district that includes New Home and Ropes, Sudan. And then for Lubbock Christian to come in with a 49-0 win, I mean, there's not really much more you could ask, you know, in a season opener. Bax Townsend, who transferred from Shallow Water, you know, he looks like he fit in just fine in a 49-0 win. You know, a big start for Coach Softley's squad there at Lubbock Christian. And, you know, also Idaloo, one of the games we talked about last week, going and, you know, on the road to beat Denver City 25-0. They had a couple safeties in the game. You know, Denver City's defense is not bad, as you might have guessed. And Idaloo just really coming and showing, you know, they lost a lot as well. 17 seniors graduated for the Wildcats. But a 25-0 win on the road at a pretty good Denver City team. You know, that's, you know, we talked about Abernathy, but Idaloo and Abernathy, you know, if they're sort of looking at each other, checking their results, I think it might have been a draw as far as who is more impressive in week one. So great start for the Wildcats down in Idaloo. And we also had a pair of first-year coaches new to their programs. Lau Leong, who Texas Tech fans should remember, the former Red Raider receiver, now the head coach at Levelland, his first head coaching gig, and they come away with a 27-26 win over Plainview, a dramatic final drive. It started with a fourth down stop on their own goal line, started at their 2 and drove down, got the game-winning touchdown on a broken play is the way Coach described it to me. And with the extra point, we're able to pull out that one-point victory. And they're not the only ones that got their new coach a win in his debut. Littlefield going and beating Dimmitt 49-6 to start the season. they are now under the direction of Jimmy Thomas, who has, gone in and changed things as far as the schemes go. Littlefield, they're running the spread now. 2020 is the start of something new for Littlefield. Switching from that slot I, and they look like they've picked it up very well so far, and putting up 49 points in the opener. And we were able to catch up with the new Littlefield coach, Coach Thomas, and here's what he had to say about the week one result. Hey, Coach, how you doing? It's Steven from the AJ.
Good. How you doing, man?
Not bad at all. How's everything going in Littlefield today?
Going good.
Well, good, Coach. I appreciate you taking some time out to talk with me. Just wanted to catch up with you after the big win last week. Just what do you think overall from your game against Dimmitt?
We started out a little slow, but really got stronger as the game went, and I thought that was pretty important, especially coming with some new schemes and, everything kind of new.
Yeah, the offense put up a lot of points. What scheme are you running there now?
We're spread. We're a spread offense for the first time in the history of the school, so been quite a bit different.
Yeah, to install something that different, what was Littlefield usually running?
They've been in the slot I for about 50 years.
Mm-hmm. And so, when you got there and you were introducing the new concepts, how did the kids take to it at first?
Oh, it's been great. I think they're having a lot of fun, and, it's different. Everybody's getting involved, and we're, kind of spreading the field. So, it's just new. The kids have taken to it really well.
Mm-hmm. And, it seems like your quarterback, Ethan Garcia, he started out the season with a bang. Just what can you say about the night he had? He was rushing for touchdowns. He threw some as well. Just what do you think of his performance in the new offense?
Oh, I thought he had a really strong performance. He's a really good competitor, and he ran the ball well, threw the ball well, did a lot of good things. So, he just continues to get better every day.
And coming in there, your first game there with the program, just how important was it to start the season with a win, especially, as dominant as y'all were?
Well, I think it was pretty important. We didn't play great in the first half. It was a really close ball game in the first half. But just to continue to get stronger and kind of dominate the game in the second half, I think was important for the confidence of our football team.
And obviously to hold a team to 6 points as y'all did against Dimmitt, what did you see from that side of the ball?
We played really strong. We had 10 sacks on the night, and that was a very strong performance from a pass run standpoint, and we held them to 0 yards rushing at the end of the night. So you couldn't really ask for more than what we got defensively.
Mm-hmm. And, I know you weren't coaching last year. I believe you were in administration. Just what was that year away from coaching like for you?
Different. This is my 26th year in education, and 25 of them have been a coach, football coach, so it was definitely different, and I took a leap, what I thought was a leap of faith, and I still think it was the right move, but I knew I wanted to get back in and get back to my passion, and that's what I've been able to do.
And what was it like to be on the sidelines again on Friday?
It was good. I forgot about how hectic things were, and how, being away from it just a year, man, it was a lot of fun, and it was definitely back to where I was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. And you've got a big test this week with Denver City. Despite their loss in the first week, they're expected to be, a playoff team capable of a deep run. What can you tell me about what you know about those Denver City Mustangs?
Well, you know, I was in their district with them before when I was in Boston Super Bowl 4A, but, you know, I've got a lot of experience with them and, you know, watch them on film. They're a solid football team. You know, they're really good defensively this year, and that's something that we're concerned about. We're gonna have to execute offensively, but, yeah, they're a real good football team, and they'll be a test on Friday.
Yeah, and sort of along those lines, just what are some of the things, you know, you're emphasizing in practice this week, some of the things that, you know, you'd like to see improved from the first game?
Well, I think from the first game, you know, we're obviously worried about us and just getting better at what we do every day. But, you know, just from an execution standpoint, we've got to be a little better than what we were Friday, just especially to start the game. We start off really, really slow, and we know we need to have a better start against a team like Denver City.
Again, I'd like to thank Coach Thomas for taking a little bit of time out of his day to talk with me about the Littlefield Wildcats, who have another test coming up on Friday when they play Denver City, who I know is going to be eager to make up for that week one loss to Idaloo, and hopefully, you know, for Coach Fontenot, I know he's hoping to get on the scoreboard this time and, you know, hopefully come out with a win for the Mustangs there. That's not the only game that, you know, I'm going to be paying attention to this week. We've got a big one in the small school ranks. Wellington coming down to New Deal on Friday. I will be on hand, and I am excited. I mean, Wellington, you may look, oh, they're 0-1, you know, kind of not what you would maybe expect from the number 3 ranked team, and that's still number 3 ranked. They actually dropped a spot after starting the year number 2 in Class 2A Division 2. The Skyrockets, from what I understand, played the equivalent of a 4A team from Oklahoma. That's Duncan, Oklahoma. Came out with a 27-16 win over the Skyrockets to open the season. But, man, I mean, I know it's Oklahoma, but for a school with that many more players, that many more in their student body, you know, to beat a 2A team by just 11 points, I think that shows the strength of Wellington. And, you know, anytime you're coming off a loss, you're going to be hungry. And the Skyrockets, they have high expectations for themselves. Some might say sky high. I'm sorry about that. But, you know, New Deal, they were impressive as well. I mean, they came away with a 41-7 win over Trinity Christian in the opener. And, you know, you want to talk about teams wanting to bounce back, wanting to, you know, make up for what they see as disappointment. New Deal, they're coming into the year, you know, motivated. They lost in the first round last year. That's not what New Deal does. And, you know, I think they may have taken some of that frustration out on Trinity in the first week. But this will be a great measuring stick for the Lions. You know, they've got a home game there, so that'll be a boost for them. But Wellington coming into town, you know, we're going to find out a lot about both teams. And, of course, they won't face each other in the playoffs, New Deal being Division I and Wellington Division II. But, you know, when you've got two of the, you know, state-ranked teams in their respective classes, New Deal being number 7 in Division I of 2A, you know, it's going to be a battle. And like I said, I am excited about this one. When I was poring over the schedules before the season, you know, this caught my attention because, you know, as far as small schools go, these two are going to be players in their regions, and I can't wait to see it. So be sure to follow along on Twitter. I am at @bystevengarcia on Twitter. I'll be keeping you updated, with the Lions and Skyrockets there. We'll also have coverage of Cooper taking on Coronado, who I saw last week. And, Coronado looking for the first win under Coach DJ Mann, the Coronado alum, just coming up short against Friendship last week. And it'll be another stiff test against the Lubbock Cooper team, whose defense, looks like they're in midseason form. So we'll have you covered there as well from Lowry Field. And for more games, keep an eye on LubbockOnline.com. I'll have my weekly story about the games to watch in the area here in the South Plains. And until then, follow along on Twitter @LoneStarVarsity and also on Facebook/LoneStarVarsity to keep up with all things South Plains. And until next week, I'm Steven Garcia. Y'all take it easy, South Plains.